you would turn with me in your scriptures to Psalm 48. Psalm 48. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, in the city of our God, in his holy mountain. Beautiful in elevation, the joy of the whole earth, is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great king. God is in her palaces, he is known as her refuge. For behold, the kings assembled, they passed by together, they saw it, and so they marveled. They were troubled, they hastened away. Fear took hold of them there, and pain as of a woman in birth pangs, as when you break the ships of Tarshish with an east wind. As we have heard, so we have seen in the city of the Lord of hosts, in the city of our God, God will establish it forever. Selah. We have thought, O God, on your loving kindness in the midst of your temple. According to your name, O God, so is your praise to the ends of the earth. Your right hand is full of righteousness. Let Mount Zion rejoice. Let the daughters of Judah be glad because of your judgments. Walk about Zion and go all around her. Count her towers. Mark well her bulwarks. Consider her palaces, that you may tell it to the generation following. For this is God, our God, forever and ever. He will be our guide, even to death. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for revealing your heart and the place where you live, that we may dwell with you forever. Open our hearts and minds to see you today and to find great joy in life with you. In Yeshua's name, amen. The sons of Korah wrote this psalm, and it's a psalm about the God who lives in a city. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, in the city of our God, in his holy mountain. Beautiful in elevation, the joy of the whole earth, is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great king. God is in her palaces, and he is known as her refuge. This great city is none other than the city of Jerusalem. It is the city that is first mentioned in 2 Samuel chapter 5 in relationship to David. In 2 Samuel chapter 5, David realized the strategic importance of this place. And in verse 7, it reads, "Nevertheless, David took the stronghold of Zion, that is, the city of David. And he made it his city. He built his home there." And later on, in 2 Samuel chapter 6, in verse 12, David would bring the Ark of the Covenant there. It had been resting elsewhere, and David brought it to this city. And he brought it to make it the city, the place where God's presence would dwell, symbolized by the ark, where God was to be worshipped. In 1 Kings chapter 8, during Solomon's day, as he had built the temple here, it says in chapter 8 of 1 Kings verse 1, "Now Solomon assembled the elders of Israel and all the heads of the tribes, the chief fathers of the children of Israel, to King Solomon in Jerusalem, that they might bring up the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord from the city of David, which is in Zion, bring it up into the temple." And so all three names, Jerusalem, Zion, city of David, were tied together in that part of the scripture. So when we read Mount Zion, and the many times that it is mentioned in Scripture, the overwhelming majority of times that it is mentioned, it is a reference to Jerusalem, the city of God. It is the place of the great king, where the great king has decided to dwell. In various places, this is talked about as God describes this in places like Psalm 51 and verse 18. He talks about establishing this city, and he says, Do good in your good pleasure to Zion. Build the walls of Jerusalem. And then in Psalm 78, verses 67 and 68. Moreover, he rejected the tent of Joseph. It did not choose the tribe of Ephraim, but chose the tribe of Judah, Mount Zion, which he loved. And then in Psalm 132, verse 13, again, we read about God choosing this as his city. Psalm 132, verse 13. For the Lord has chosen Zion. He has desired it for his dwelling place. In the wisdom and mystery of God, God has set his heart on Jerusalem as his city and the place where he would choose to reveal himself and manifest his presence, the place where he would be worshiped, the place where he would be recognized and seen as the great king, greatly to be praised. He is also highlighting that this city is the place where people can find help. It is the place where he says he is known as her refuge. God is in her palaces. God is in charge. God is in control. His sovereign rule comes out of Mount Zion, out of Jerusalem, his chosen city. In Psalm 20, verse 2, he speaks of the fact that in this city, this is the place where people can find help. Psalm 20, verse 2 says, May he send you help from the sanctuary and strengthen you out of Zion. And then in Psalm 53 and verse 6, he talks about the salvation that he offers through this city. Psalm 53, verse 6, Oh, that the salvation of Israel would come out of Zion. When God brings back the captivity of his people, let Jacob rejoice and Israel be glad. And not only does God describe this city as a special place where he would dwell, where he is to be worshiped, that is on his heart, this is the place where you and I can find help, where his people can find help and salvation and rescue and refuge. But he makes some special promises through the prophets. In Isaiah chapter 2, he writes most graphically about the promises that he has for Jerusalem in the future. Isaiah chapter 2 and verse 2 and following. Now it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow to it. Many people shall come and say, Come, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, and we shall walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations and rebuke many people. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. What a beautiful picture of what God intends for Jerusalem. That the law, the word of the Lord, would go out from Jerusalem to the ends of the earth, and that he would judge and rule. And certainly this has not been fulfilled yet. It's a picture of what is yet to come, what is on God's heart for this beautiful city. The earthly Jerusalem, in fact, we find and we discover is actually a symbol and a picture of the greater heavenly Jerusalem that is God is building for his people. God is, in the next section of Psalm 48, God talks about the kings that are assembled, and they passed by together, and they saw it, and they marveled, and they were troubled, and they hastened away, and fear took hold of them. Pain as of a woman, and birth pangs is when the ships of Tarshish are broken up by the strong east wind. the ships of Tarshish being the most powerful of the day. God is talking about the protection that he gives by being in the midst of this city, and the protection against kings that come against him there. He talks about this protection again in the worship of his king in Psalm 2. Psalm 2, he talks about establishing his king. He says, "Why do the nations rage and the people plot a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, 'Let us break their bonds in pieces and cast away their cords from us.' He who sits in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall hold them in derision. Then he shall speak to them in his wrath and distress them in his deep displeasure. Yet I have set my king on my holy hill of Zion." So all of the nations can come against him, and all of the nations could come against Jerusalem. But God has set his king there, namely Messiah. He has set his king there on his holy hill. And he laughs at the efforts of the nations because he knows that they are fruitless. He is the sovereign one who sets the place of his rule, and he is the one who reigns. And Jerusalem is the picture of his reigning that will be in the future. Now we know that the earthly Jerusalem did not fulfill all the purposes that God had in mind for her. We know that in the protections that God gave, there one of the most clear protections that God gave was in the days of King Hezekiah, when the Assyrian Empire came against Jerusalem. And Hezekiah heard the threats of that nation and received the letter, and he went into the temple and laid it out before the Lord. And the Lord heard Hezekiah, and the Lord said, "They will not touch my city. They will not even set foot in my city. In fact, they will turn away in confusion." And that's exactly what happened. Assyria turned away. They never did attack Jerusalem. They turned away. But then, in just all too short a time, just 100+ years later, then the people had turned away from God. And Jeremiah spoke over and over again of God's desire for his people to follow him. But they had turned away. And then the city was ransacked by the Babylonians and was left desolate for some 70 years. And in Yeshua's day, Yeshua talks about his heart for the city. In chapter 13 of the Gospel of Luke, Yeshua is traveling and ministering and traveling towards Jerusalem. And in chapter 13, he makes this statement as he is overlooking Jerusalem. Verse 34 and 35. "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her, how often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, but you are not willing. See, your house is left to you desolate, and assuredly I say to you, you shall not see me until the time comes when you say, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.'" We live in a remarkable day, because although Jerusalem failed in her purposes, in AD 70 they were once again ransacked, this time by the Roman Empire. In 1948, God brought back into existence the nation of Israel. And then in 1967, God brought Jerusalem back under Jewish control. And over again, we hear the statement of the Jewish people, and we hear the statement of the leaders of Israel: "Jerusalem is our eternal capital, and never again will we leave Jerusalem. While that may be a statement that comes out of the circumstances of world history, it is also an evidence of the work of our God in our day, that once again, He is establishing Jerusalem as His holy city. He is once again setting His heart to protect that place and to draw people to Himself through that place. In our psalm, verse 8 of Psalm 48, he says, "As we have heard, so we have seen in the city of the Lord of hosts, in the city of our God, that God will establish it forever." And it's not just the earthly Jerusalem that he's talking about. Perhaps even more importantly, it is the reality of the heavenly Jerusalem that he is talking about. And he's talking about how wonderful it is for us to be citizens of this heavenly Jerusalem, the place that God will establish forever. "We have thought on God, O God, on your loving kindness in the midst of your temple, according to your name, O God. So is your praise to the ends of the earth. Your right hand is full of righteousness. Let Mount Zion rejoice. Let the daughters of Judah be glad because of your judgments." The righteousness of God is being clarified. He is keeping his promises. He is showing himself to be faithful. Ultimately, it is God's decision who is in charge of Jerusalem. Ultimately, it is his city and it belongs to no one else. Who can be a part of this glorious city? Psalm 87 gives us some insight into this. Who can be a part of the city of God? Another psalm of Korah. Psalm 87, verse 1. "His foundation is in the holy mountains. The Lord loves the gates of Zion more than all the dwellings of Jacob. Glorious things are spoken of you, O city of God. I will make mention of Rahab and Babylon to those who know me. Behold, O Philistia and Tyre with Ethiopia, this one was born there. And of Zion it will be said, this one and that one were born in her. And the Most High himself shall establish her. The Lord will record when he registers the peoples, this one was born there, Selah. Both the singers and the players on instruments say, all my springs are in you." What is God saying? He is saying that in his heavenly city, there are no aliens. There is no naturalization. It is all by birth. And that birth is the new birth that Yeshua gives us. Remember when Yeshua was talking to Nicodemus at night, and he said, "You cannot see the kingdom of God. You cannot enter the kingdom of God unless you are born again or born from on high." And Yeshua was picturing that involvement, life in his kingdom and his family, to be a citizen of the heavenly Jerusalem, means that you and I must be born again, born of the Spirit of God. There are no aliens in the city of Jerusalem, in the heavenly city. All of us must come into the city by birth, by the birth that we get through faith in Yeshua. This one was born there. And look at the impact, that God is not going to do this just for the Jewish people, but the Jewish people are the avenue of blessing for the whole world. Because it says in verse 4 of Psalm 87, "I will make mention of Rahab," that is Egypt, "that long enemy of Babylon, of those who know me, of Philistia, of Tyre, of the furthest nations of the earth, Ethiopia. This one was born there, that the nations too would partake in this glorious citizenship." That is God's design for his city of Jerusalem, that you and I could become citizens and that we would enjoy all the blessings of citizenship in this city. The blessing to think on the loving kindness of God, the blessing of thinking of His name and of His praise, how God is working to the ends of the earth, of how God is working to establish His righteousness. It is a helpful thing for us to give attention and reflection to our citizenship in this heavenly city. John talks about this heavenly city. This in the Psalm 48, verse 12, it says, "Walk about Zion, go all around her, count her towers, mark well her bulwarks, consider her palaces, that you may tell it to the generations following." What an invitation that is, not just to the earthly Jerusalem, but you and I would walk around in the heavenly Jerusalem, that we would look and see what it is like, that we could tell the generations following of the glories of this Jerusalem, the city of God. John writes about this in his book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 21 speaks of this new Jerusalem, the city that we need to walk around and look at, reflect on. Revelation 21 and verse 1 and following. "Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people. God Himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away.' Then He who sat on the throne said, 'Behold, I make all things new.' And He said to me, 'Write, for these things are true and faithful.' And He said to me, 'It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Then one of the seven angels, who had the seven bowls filled with the seven last plagues, came to me and talked with me, saying, 'Come, I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife.' And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. Her light was like a most precious stone, like jasper stone, clear as crystal. Also she had a great and high wall with 12 gates and 12 angels at the gates, and names written on them, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel: 3 gates on the east, 3 gates on the north, 3 gates on the south, and 3 gates on the west. Now the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he who talked with me had a gold reed to measure the city, its gates, and its wall. The city is laid out as a square, its length as great as its breadth. And he measured the city with the reed, 12,000 furlongs. Its length, breadth, and height are equal. And he measured its wall, 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is, of an angel. The construction of its wall was jasper, and the city was pure gold, like clear glass. The foundations of the wall of the city were adorned with all kinds of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedony, the fourth emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardius, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth chrysoprase, the 11th jacinth, and the 12th amethyst. The 12 gates were 12 pearls. Each individual gate was one pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold, like transparent glass. But I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. And the city had no need of the sun or of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God illuminated it. The Lamb is its light, and the nations of those who are saved shall walk in its light, and the kings of the earth bring their glory and honor into it. Its gates shall not be shut at all by day. There shall be no night there, and they shall bring the glory and the honor of the nations into it. But there shall be by no means enter it anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's book of life. That is the heavenly Jerusalem. What a glorious place. It is a place where there is nothing abominable. All of the evil that we see in our world will not exist in that city. All of the corruption that we see that breaks our heart in the cities of earth will not exist in that city. In that city, there will never be a funeral. In that city, you won't need Kleenex. In that city, you won't need Tylenol or Advil. In that city, you will never die. In that city, you will see the glory of the Lord forever and ever. And in that city, there is always something wonderful going on because there's no night. There's daylight all the time. Did you catch it? It's a glorious thing. Perhaps you've thought about it before, but I get excited every time I read about it, that the city is a perfect cube. Does that remind you of anything? Absolutely. What is a perfect cube in the Tanakh? The Holy of Holies. The Holy of Holies is a perfect cube. 1 Kings chapter 6, verses 19 through 20, talk about Solomon building the temple. And here's what he says. He says, "And he prepared the inner sanctuary inside the temple to set the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord there. The inner sanctuary was 20 cubits long, 20 cubits wide, and 20 cubits high. And he overlaid it with pure gold, and he overlaid the altar of cedar. It was a perfect cube. The Holy of Holies," that means the New Jerusalem is the Holy of Holies. God himself is right there. It's a mystery. God is mixing metaphors here, that the New Jerusalem is the bride of Yeshua, that the New Jerusalem is the Holy of Holies, that God is there, undiluted God, that you and I can worship and fellowship with him. And it's brilliant. It's wonderful. You know, John started off, God, Jesus, Yeshua, the Messiah, revealing on the island of Patmos, said to him, he said, "Blessed is the person who reads this out loud," is the implication, "who hears it." There's something glorious about it. It's good to read it, but it's even more wonderful to hear it because it's a drama that God is playing out. And all of these colors begin to flash on your mind as you see the foundations of this glorious city. My dad often said to me, he said, "You know, I have some people," they said, "I can't wait to get to heaven, to the New Jerusalem, because the cities are paved with gold." And my dad would always point out, no, they are not paved with gold. They are pure gold. That's amazing. And our brother Ellie has pointed out before about that gentleman who was wanting to take gold with him to heaven. And he was stopped at the gate, and the guy says, "What do you have in your bag?" And the guy, he opened his bag and he says, "Oh, I've got this gold." And he says, "Well, why on earth are you bringing pavement with you?" The glory of that New Jerusalem is so marvelous. To see the beauty, the colors, to think of the blessing, the presence of God, that our names by faith in Yeshua are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, that we are on the register of the New Jerusalem. You and I are citizens of this heavenly Jerusalem. And as we have read through this chapter, that this is something that you should do maybe even every day. to walk through this new Jerusalem, to see the glories of it, so that you can pass it on to the next generations. To say, as sad as things may get on earth, by trust in Yeshua, there is a glorious city. And you know what that does? That doesn't make us less good on earth. That puts a spring in our step and it gives us strength to keep going on. It helps us see that we can afford to suffer a little while here because we have got an amazing place that we're headed to. The New Jerusalem, the city of God, the place where the great King dwells, the place where the great King has us dwell by faith in Him and by natural birth through His Son. Shaul writes about this citizenship, and he says in his letter to the Philippians in chapter 3, he writes, verse 20, "For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Yeshua Mashiach, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to His glorious body, according to the working by which He is able even to subdue all things to Himself." Yeshua says, we have citizenship in heaven. And we stand on tiptoe, eagerly waiting for Him to come and take us home. And He will in that moment transform this body, and it will be like His resurrection body. It will be suited for life in the heavenly Jerusalem. Like Yeshua, He appeared in a locked building. We will be able to travel at the speed of thought or faster and move through what would be an impossibility for us here. And we will be able to move places, go great distances. Yeshua had appeared to the disciples on the road to Emmaus, which was several miles from Jerusalem. And before they could get back, Yeshua had already been there and left again. And you and I won't need an airplane to fly. Yeshua in His resurrection body could travel wherever He needed to go. But it was also recognizable. The marks of the nails were still in His hands, but they were glorified. The imprint of the spear was still in His side, but it was glorified. It was no longer a hindrance. It was a mark of glory and honor. And we will recognize each other. Yeshua was recognized. People didn't recognize Him immediately because the last time they had seen Him, He was marred beyond recognition. But in His glorified body, it took people a while to get used to it. But they then recognized Him, the nails and the press and the spear, and then eventually the face, that you and I will recognize each other and have this glorious body. Remember Stephen. Stephen giving witness to the Messiah before the religious leaders of his day. And he gave witness, and the Father prompted him by the Spirit what to say. It says that he was filled with the Spirit. And it says that he told them about their own rebelliousness. And it's hard to hear that, isn't it? To hear somebody talk about the way that I have rebelled against God. It's hard to hear. And on that occasion, instead of it being something that led them to brokenness, it led them to fury. And they dragged Him out to stone Him. And at the moment when their fury was beginning to rage against Him, this is what the record says in Acts. It says, "When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed at them with their teeth. But He, being filled with the Ruach HaKodesh, gazed into heaven, and He saw the glory of God and Yeshua standing at the right hand of God, and said, 'Look, I see heaven opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God.'" Yeshua is waiting for every one of us. And if he tarries, if he doesn't come first, you and I will all experience exactly what Stephen did. That we will see that veil, that thin veil, pulled back, and we will see Yeshua standing ready to welcome us in to the heavenly Jerusalem, which he is preparing for us. No wonder the psalm writer could then say at the conclusion of his psalm, "This is God, our God, forever and ever, and he will be our guide, even not just to death, but through death and through all eternity." Let's bow together in prayer. Father, we praise you for setting your heart on Mount Zion, because you wanted to reveal yourself to us and be near us, and you wanted to show us that the most important thing in all the world is knowing you, worshiping you, being intimate and close with the great King. We thank you for the way you've revealed in Scripture that you are preparing the heavenly Jerusalem, a home forever and ever that is more glorious than we have even begun to conceive. And thank you most of all for the glory and the wonder, the miracle that citizenship in that heaven, in that Jerusalem, is such a simple transaction of faith in Yeshua, your Messiah. Father, what a gift. Thank you for making it possible. Thank you, Father, that even though we are now feeling the sense that we are aliens and strangers here, that we have a home and we are citizens of heaven in the heavenly Jerusalem. May that light our way and encourage us all our days until we see you face to face. In Yeshua's name, amen.